T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This week, we're joined by Mark Dwyer, the communications manager for Foodlink, and Flo, the manager of the Curbside Market. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Been a busy week for you guys.
Yeah, a lot of distributions. This week, we kind of went above and beyond what we normally do in a typical week, and we decided to hold 14 extra food distributions to address what's people are referring to as the SNAP gap, where people impacted by the shutdown, the 35-day shutdown from December into January, they saw that their SNAP benefits were starting to run out because they got their February benefits in mid-January. So right around mid-February, very likely that, a lot of families started running out of their SNAP benefits. Add that to school vacation week. Families have to pay for additional meals for their children when they're out of school. And so we thought this was the appropriate time to hold some distributions in Rochester and a lot of our surrounding counties.
Now, I want to dig into this a little bit more because there's certainly a lot to talk about, especially in Rochester when it comes to issues like this. But I first wanted to kind of start with a quick overview. If someone's listening right now and they probably have heard of Foodlink. Foodlink's one of those ones where everyone's heard about it, but really dig into what it is you guys do and the mission.
Yeah, so certainly we, as you mentioned, we've been around. So we just reached our 40th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. This past December, we celebrated 40 years serving Rochester. And so obviously we're one of the older food banks in the country. And by food banking, we basically mean the collection, the distribution of food to emergency food providers like your local food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters. These smaller agencies that need to serve their communities, we provide the food to them. But what we've done in the last, I want to say about 10 years, 10 to 15 years, is we've really come up with a lot of innovative programs that address hunger in different ways. And so the Curbside Market is just one example of a program that's come about in the last 5 years, really targeting food access issues. We have a really robust nutrition education program with a lot of educators teaching people about food literacy. And we've got a really great state-of-the-art community kitchen serving thousands of meals every single day to after-school programs. We're slicing apples, and we are teaching a brand new culinary training program and training people for jobs.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're training people for middle skills jobs in the food industry. So a lot going on at Foodlink and a lot of new programs that are very exciting.
Now, talk about the need specifically here in Rochester for something like this. We certainly know the poverty rate, how essential this is.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, obviously, Rochester has been in the headlines for its high poverty. I think one of the latest stories I've read is third highest poverty rate in the country. What a child poverty rate is very high. Over half the kids in the city of Rochester are living in poverty. And so poverty and food insecurity statistics are pretty much mirror each other. And so by food insecurity, we mean when a household doesn't have enough food for everyone in that household. And so we know that in certain neighborhoods in Rochester, that number is between 30% and 40%. From a countywide perspective, that number is closer to like 10% or 11% when you're talking about Monroe County and some of these outer counties. But in the city of Rochester alone, it gets up to 40%.
And it's such a double-edged sword, too, because not only is it the lack of amount of food, but it's also the food that they can get. It's not good for them.
Right.
It's not nutritious.
Exactly. So if folks are living in a community where they don't have access to a grocery store or a farmer's market, and they're relying on stores that really only sell processed goods and food that it really isn't healthy for you, then food access is a significant issue. And certainly Curbside and a few other programs we operate are trying to address that.
Yeah, we've got Flo here. She's the manager of the Curbside Market. Can you explain that a little bit, what this idea is and what you guys do?
Sure. The Curbside Market program, just considered is, think about it as a farm stand on wheels. And so we go throughout right now 6 of our service county areas that we purchase fresh fruits and vegetables. We load it up on a think of a big UPS truck, and when you walk in, it looks just like a store. And so you actually come on and you shop, and it makes it very easy for those who have limited access. We come right to various locations such as affordable housing sites, senior day programs, rec centers, WISE, places that we know where people are who can't actually, you know, have cars or be able to get to fresh fruits and vegetables. So like Mark said, this is, we're going into our sixth year, and it's been really successful. A lot of folks have gravitated to the program, but there's a lot of individuals that don't know about our program. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we're here too, to make people aware that, you know, what the curbside market program is all about. We do take forms of cash, debit, as well as SNAP. And the thing that's really good about SNAP is the fact that we have a matching program. So anytime anyone uses their SNAP, we match up to
$10. Oh, that's awesome.
So we try to help do some like financial, you know, literacy, sure. You know, because some, you know, I know people talk about, you know, people with SNAP, you know, they don't spend wisely. And we try to, you know, squash that with on curbside. We try to educate and teach them. So if you're going to come on and shop, you know, save your vouchers until the end of the month when you know you're going to run low, and then you can redeem them. And so a lot of our customers have taken hold of that, and they, you know, they're shopping smarter and they're eating more healthier.
Now, how can someone listening find out where to go, where the food trucks will be?
Yep. So they can just go right up on the Food Links website and look up Curbside Market, and you'll see all of our sites. We operate all year round. We're currently at about, I would say, about 35, 40 sites during the wintertime. We struggle a little bit in the winter just based on the weather.
Sure. Understandable.
So, yeah. But, you know, we try to get out there as much as we can. And then in the spring and summer, you know, that's when we really blossom. So yeah, all they have to do is go up on the Food Links website and they'll find our schedule.
Now, what's the response been like from the community?
Oh, the response has been great. Yeah. You know, with the nutrition educators coming along as well, it's been really helpful. We just recently received a couple of grants, and one is through the Finger Lakes Performance Providers. They are... it's a program where they are working with medical professionals who have identified some of their patients who have diet-related illnesses. And so they have navigators that will kind of help navigate our the clients or the patients to curbside. And so it makes it easier for them to be able to find the sites. Once they come on, they kind of educate them what's on the truck, and we have recipes and things like that. So it's making it easier for them to, you know, improve their health. You know, a lot of folks don't have that guidance. And so
if you don't know,
it makes it very easy for them. And people are really looking at making health changes. And so with this, it's really, you know, taking hold of the program, and people are, you know, enjoying it.
We've got Flo and Mark, our friends from Foodlink, right now in the studio. And talk a little bit about how Rochester compares to maybe other markets. Are there similar programs in other, and how do we differentiate from those?
We like to tell people that visit Foodlink that we are part of a network of 200 Feeding America food banks that cover every county in the country. And every food bank is slightly different. We all have different programs. Our missions are pretty similar. And we are in the practice of collecting and distributing food to operate as a food bank. But we all have diverse programs, innovative programs. And we like to think that Foodlink is a little bit more innovative than the rest. I think we've done a lot in the last 5 to 10 years to really differentiate ourselves and really come up with some fantastic programs. And so there aren't mobile markets at every food bank. That's unique. While mobile markets are getting a little bit more prevalent around the country, and actually Flo can speak to, there's a conference coming up that we're going to in Buffalo, where these mobile markets will kind of gather and talk about best practices and what they're doing. It is unique for a food bank to take this initiative on. I think when we first came up with the idea 5-6 years ago, I think a lot of food banks thought we were crazy trying to sell produce in underserved neighborhoods. I think that
makes so much sense, though.
Yeah, no, it's a significant issue if you're not living in a community with a grocery store down the road or a farmer's market nearby. You don't have access to those fresh fruits and vegetables, and we tell our kids, fill half your plate with fruits and veggies, but if we don't have access to these fruits and veggies, it makes it really, really tough. So
I think it's difficult for many people who haven't experienced that or seen it firsthand, because, you know, let's be honest, we all live in our little bubbles, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't kind of go out of your comfort zone and realize what's really happening around you and in your city, and again, you just spoke a little while ago to the poverty rate here in Rochester, that yes, there are people that don't have computers and there are people that can't go to a grocery store. These are such basic things for so many of us that, you know, that's why we need things like this.
You know, and what Mark was also saying, you know, with the different programs, we're always looking for ways to help. And so we recently received another grant. It's called a LFPP grant, which is Local Food Promotion Program. And so that grant is going to help us identify or help individuals who receive WIC. Okay, to actually want to be like one of the first WIC-mobiles in the state,
really? Okay.
You know, in the country, really. And so what we're trying to do is I'm going to be hosting a couple of focus groups with individuals who actually receive WIC, and to get a feel of what they and how they spend their WIC checks, and, you know, or the trouble that they're finding to be able to spend their WIC WIC vouchers. And so what we're going to do is take a look at, you know, the types of product that we need to carry on the curbside market, so that when a person is, you know, when they do have their WIC checks, they can actually shop on curbside to buy their WIC products. So sure. That's another program or another grant that we received, and that's in the making. Within this year, we'll start to see, you know, some improvements in that area.
That's awesome. Again, always looking forward trying to find what's the next step.
We
brought it up kind of in the beginning here, and I wanted to circle back around to the SNAP cap that's been affecting the Rochester region. And this kind of speaks back to what I kind of said of people living in their own little bubble. There's many people listening right now who the government shutdown probably really hasn't affected their lives. For me, the government shutdown, it really hasn't done much. But obviously, so many people in this community, it's been detrimental.
Yeah, particularly with SNAP, that's been our focus this past week, where the government decided to release those benefits January 17th for February. And so that's a full 2 weeks early, more than 2 weeks for some, early than they normally would have received those benefits. And so they're now in a position to stretch those benefits over 6 or 7 weeks as opposed to just 4 or 5 weeks.
Sure.
And so we knew that by mid-February, highly likely that a lot of folks were running out of their SNAP benefits, couldn't probably afford to put food on the table for the rest of the month. They'd be heavily reliant on our emergency food system and all the pantries and soup kitchens that we partner with. And so that's why we decided that we work with the city of Rochester, a local Salvation Army, to set up these extra distribution sites all throughout our service area to meet this rise in need.
Now, how quick of a turnaround is that? Because that seems like something, you identify an issue and within a matter of, is it weeks, days?
Yeah, I mean, it was about a three to four week process of us realizing ahead of time what the need would likely be in mid-February. And that's reaching out to donors, to both for funds and for food. A lot of food donors came through and started donating product. That's coordinating with the city and in different sites that can hold these large scale distributions where hundreds of people show up. And so there's a lot of work that went in the last 3 to 4 weeks of getting this together. Have to mention the United Way. They were with us every step of the way throughout this process. And so a lot of just people working together in this community. It was a really great thing to see. Just obviously we were the ones aggregating the food and distributing the food, but there were so many community partners involved with making this happen.
A lot of working parts there.
Yeah, and our volunteers as well. You know, we have we had some great volunteers who stepped up and up to the plate and just hit it out the park, because they knew that there was a need. And that's the thing that's, you know, really good about the community. You know, people don't just, you know, a lot of people just don't sit back and just, you know, complain about it. They're part of the solution. And so we're always looking for more volunteers. We have a you know, in our rural areas as well, we have a great person right now who we're working with. Her name is Diane Miller out in Wayne County. I call her my community liaison of Wayne County, because she has really taken hold of what we're doing, not just with curbside, but just what FoodLink is doing. And so we're always looking for these dedicated volunteers who, you know, who want to just help serve, you know.
Well, it's not even just that, it's helping others, but it's this, I mean, it's the satisfaction you get from realizing Mm-hmm. Look at the good that's being done.
Right.
So if people are interested, there might be people listening right now who maybe they would like to volunteer. Where can they go? How can they find out more info?
Yeah, we mentioned our website earlier. That's foodlinkny.org. So you can visit our website and see a button right on the homepage to volunteer. And it's when you volunteer at Foodlink, it's not just coming to our warehouse and sorting through food, although that is a lot of what's needed. It's volunteering with our drivers on curbside. It's assisting with our nutrition educators. We have a lot of different opportunities for folks that want to get involved, and you just go to our website and pick a shift that's right for you and sign up with and tell your friends.
Mark and Flo from Foodlink, you guys are doing fantastic work. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.